This is Michael. You're listening to Models of Masters, and I'm so grateful you're here. I'm breaking down personal stories, learned wisdom, and pieces of insight I hope can help you along your journey. Head over to my website, michaelbecker.org, for much more. And with that, let's get right into the show. All right, let's talk a little bit about CLTV and increasing customer retention. First, I'm going to start with how to create a continuity so that you can enable monthly recurring revenue. And then I'm going to talk about customer success and how to create a more sticky experience that brings customers back and keeps them successful once they are indoctrinated and enrolled into your business. So let's start by talking about the importance of monthly recurring revenue. And I want to share three ways to enable that within your business, no matter what type of a model you currently have. So the reason MRR matters so much is because when you know what you're going to make next month, give or take, it allows you to do a couple things. One is to release your reliance on needing net new customers in order to survive, right? That's like the most obvious and the most important piece. Secondly, it lets you make more accurate extrapolations about ARR, which in turn helps determine and justify the valuation of your enterprise. Thirdly, it allows you to reinvest more wisely and more freely on other initiatives, which can become increasingly more important as you scale, as you acquire more customers, and as you look to diversify your service offering. Investors, acquirers, and often customers prefer recurring revenue models to one-time purchase businesses. And so there's three options that I want to look at to enabling recurring revenue: a full-fledged subscription or membership business. This is the most common. What I call a perpetual performance-based, sort of like a pseudo-subscription option. And then thirdly, optional add-on recurring products that customers can buy after a one-time initiation or after they sign up for the big ticket thing. So model one, subscription business. Subscription businesses like, for example, FabFitFun, WP Engine, Canva Pro, just to name a few, they know that value per transaction will be lower than a single purchase business like IKEA or Smith's, the grocery that I go to, or an airline company who works on single transactions. But that's not what you're going for if you have a subscription business. The compounding, continual, dependable monthly revenue is what you're betting on. Single payment businesses have sporadic customers with no guarantee of repeat purchase. Subscription businesses have consistent customers with a high probability of those people remaining. A subscription brand also has to be more consistent in their fulfillment and their service over the long haul than a single transaction company for that reason. Otherwise, as you scale, churn will become a bigger threat. While most people don't stay on subscriptions forever, this structure does extend your CLTV light years beyond a business without it, who, in order to drive subsequent purchases, must rely either on brand loyalty or discounts and coupons. It also just makes sense from an experiential point of view. More people are likely to walk in the door when the barrier to entry is relatively lower, knowing that they can cancel at any time. And this is a win-win for the business too. There's a one-time sign up, but then with monthly payments on auto withdrawal, customers aren't manually getting out their wallet to swipe their credit card every pay period, which reduces friction immensely. So within the content continuum, this is where we're seeing creators enrolling people into monthly subscriptions using digital products. Now, with subscriptions, you won't make bank on any single customer or any singular transaction like you might in winning a big corporate contract or brokering a big deal or closing a high-ticket customer. Rather, the value is in the accumulation of new customers all signing up at a relatively lower price point as your install base grows over time. Unlike the few member collaborative client model that I share in the book, this kind of structure calls for quantity and also retention. Okay, model number two, what I call perpetual performance-based. In lieu of running a full-fledged membership model, you can build a continuity into your single transaction business. These models offer the ability to activate different kinds of recurring revenue without switching your business model fundamentally. They include things like payment plans following a down payment for a high-ticket product, selling to businesses and getting on a retainer for ongoing work, or participating in a revenue share or taking a royalty. Enabling creative financing for higher priced products will incentivize more people to enroll and give them more options to decide how they pay. So payment plans are the most obvious and the easiest method to execute here. But retainers can also work well if you are a solo contractor or if you serve businesses with some sort of a service offering and you have like a defined work scope where you're actually producing something, where you're delivering some sort of quantifiable deliverable. And the expectation when you are on a retainer is that as long as a certain standard is met or the work remains needed month over month, then you will continue to be called upon and compensated. Part of your job in this scenario is to show the client why the work is not only required, but also how it's moving the needle for the business to help justify the need for your presence in perpetuity. And then rev sharing, royalties, and I'll say residual income are also emergent options here as well. So this is an interesting model or structure to look at if you have clients who are interested in working with you, but simply do not have the budget to invest in certain services. And so you can propose to take a cut of the future yield in lieu of that upfront payment. These types of deals are actually often quite appealing to clients because you only win if you help them win. And they provide an incentive for you, the service provider, to actually show up and drive results as a true partner with some skin in the game, since you don't get paid otherwise. These types of agreements fall into the pay per results bucket, which is a model that's also growing in popularity as we speak, and one which I really like. You're basically saying, I'm so certain that I can help you that I don't get paid unless or until you see results. These kinds of offers can also be paired with a small initiation fee so that they have skin in the game as well. But then it's all about follow through and driving tangible results to prosper together. All right, zooming back out now to model number three, optional add-on products. So the third option is to offer a recurring product that becomes available after an initial purchase of some kind. This is a good model, particularly once you've established your customer base and can effectively enroll people into upgrades, spin-offs, or more specific point solutions. It also works well for free or freemium consumer apps that let you use like a basic version and then buy additional credits or storage, for instance. Apple does this with its strategically limited iCloud space. First, you buy the iPhone, the big ticket, and then you realize, wait, I need more storage. So you essentially buy that for, I'm paying $3 a month, I believe, and you pay monthly to maintain access to that product. Other examples could include Upwork. It's free to use, but you only get so many connect requests before you need to pay for more. How about Hinge? It's free to use, but you only get like 10 or 12 daily swipes before you need to pay for more. And Zoom, again, free to use, but the basic plan only allows 40-minute meetings. And so with all of these, the free version is usable, but it is strategically inadequate for users who want to gain real value from the product, which then compels them to upgrade for a better experience. Okay, so that's why retention matters. That's why MRR matters. And those are three ways that you can implement it within your business. Now I want to switch the focus just slightly, and I want to talk about CLTV, customer lifetime value, which is, as a blanket statement, the most important metric that you should be measuring across the entire customer lifecycle. Increasing CLTV individually and in aggregate is achieved by providing escalating levels of value to correspond with an ongoing extraction of cash by your business. There are essentially three levers that you can pull here. Number one, you can raise prices incrementally, which is the quickest and easiest to actually execute, but it's the hardest to do, which I'll explain more in a moment. Secondly, you can launch new products, so enabling alternative purchase options. And then thirdly, speeding up your retention point. Also, as a caveat, I want to mention here that much has been made about over-delivering on promises, especially in the coaching and consulting space the last few years. But it's really important to understand just keeping your word, just delivering to expectations, adhering to precedent is infinitely more important. Without the ability to do this repeatedly and at scale to meet customer expectations, nothing else will matter or work to drive higher customer lifetime value. So first focus on serving to standards, then look at ways to add new revenue streams or increase the revenue you're able to extract from each individual customer. So that is a prerequisite to then enabling CLTV to even matter in the first place. All right, so let's talk about those three ways to enable and grow CLTV with a content-driven approach. Number one is to raise prices incrementally. Okay, the good news here is that incremental price increases are the quickest way to increase CLTV. The bad news, you probably can't or shouldn't do it until you have a bunch of long-time locked-in customers. Moderate price increases work best for subscription companies whose customers are, for lack of a better word, dependent on them and who have good market dominance with a clearly superior product. In other words, It better be really hard for customers to walk away if you're going to raise prices on them. YouTube Premium and Namecheap recently unveiled price increases, and they communicated those via email. These are two services that I use. And what am I going to do? Discontinue my premium subscription or my hosting services? No, I'm just not going to do that for a $2 or $3 or $4 increase on the price per month. But if they increase them to $5 to $8 to $10 plus dollars a month, now I'm starting to question whether it's worth it for me to continue paying. And I will probably churn as a customer. So of course, you're free to raise your prices at any time. But until your book of business truly depends on you to fulfill a very particular emotional or functional need, and until they have little optionality to make a jump or to cancel, it won't do much for CLTV. It will actually hurt your business because people will just walk away and look for someone else. So this one is actually, it's easy to implement, but it's difficult and delicate to do from a business continuity, customer experience, and retention standpoint until you hit that sweet spot where you're able to do so. All right, number two, launch new products. This option is probably the most feasible for most content entrepreneurs. Releasing different programs, additional features, or new SKUs for your clients to take advantage of. In order to remain relevant, a business has to evolve. That doesn't mean skimping on service requirements for the current install base, but it does mean not settling for the status quo, continually incubating new products, and developing alternate opportunities for customers to level up. These new offers can be used as cross-sells, upsells, or just novel programs, which you can then roll out on like a quarterly or biannual basis and use beta invites to bring in existing customers as your kind of like initial VIP group before then rolling it out publicly across social media or to your broader follower base. So launching new products and keeping things interesting, keeping things new, and giving your customers new ways to derive value within your business. And then number three, speed up the retention point. How and how quickly can you become the default solution, the automatic answer, when your customers have an impulse to solve for a specific need? Let's use ride sharing for an example, right? When you need a ride, when you need to get from point A to point B, what app do you open to call for that on-demand service? For most people, at least here in the US, it's either Uber or maybe Lyft or maybe both, as I do, to price compare in the moment. So I don't have to think about it. I'm not like, should I call a taxi? Should I call a friend? Should I do this or that? I'm like, no, I need a ride. Boom, swipe, open Uber or open Lyft. Now, while it's tougher for client businesses to facilitate such a moment, it is possible to get into this sort of esteemed air of being the best X that your customers have experienced. You can be the best coach, the best agency, the best partner, et cetera, that your customers ever work with. As an exercise, think about these three sentences and try to fill in the blanks here for what you'd like your customers to say about you. Number one, without even thinking about it, my customers turn to me to blank. Example, without thinking about it, my customers turn to me for questions on ads. Second, when their peers ask about me, I can count on my customers to say blank. Example, when their peers ask, my customers say that I am by far the best personal trainer in town. Third, when my customer needs blank, they blank me. Example, when my customer needs support, they instantly message me. These things are important to know because then you can hone in on them. You can derive use cases connected to each and create many inflection points around those to strengthen the mental bond that your customers have with you. This is how higher ticket businesses can reinforce and quicken their retention point, which is a longer term play, no doubt. For creators, coaches, agencies, and small businesses, there are other tangible, tactical ways to mimic the effects of sticky and addictive, quite frankly, consumer apps that literally have teams of behavioral scientists and machine learning experts and marketers all partnering together to create stickier and stickier apps. But anyone, for example, can differentiate their delivery or create a new category, similar to how I did with New Earth Knowledge, where I really honed in on the 5D New Earth category and started creating high quality content around that, which then attracted a community who really, really gravitated to that specific flavor of insight and education that I was disseminating. Anyone can share their unabashed personality on a podcast or a YouTube channel. Anyone can generate anticipation week over week with one-on-one check-ins early and often with their customer base to forge that personal connection that a lot of big scaled consumer apps just simply can't do. And so all of these gestures can mimic the effects that an Uber or an Airbnb or an Instagram activates to hook people with notifications and algorithms and behavioral hacks to speed up the retention point. The only difference is you're doing it as a creator. It doesn't always have to be better. Sometimes being different is enough. As the extent of engagement and length of time with your company grows, affinity will continue to increase until a tipping point where a customer becomes brand loyal. And so that's really it for CLTV, for loyalty, and for retention. And I hope that you found value in this episode. That's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. My book, Content Capitalist, is on sale now. Grab your copy by visiting my website or tapping the link in the episode description. I also just released the online learning portal, which expands on what I share in the book. This includes 4 hours of edited, captioned video tutorials and trainings, plus dozens of downloadables and templates. Between the book and the eAcademy, you're going to be equipped to literally blow your revenue targets out of the water and eviscerate your competition this year, all by putting content at the core. Please subscribe to the podcast, rate, review, comment, and share all the things, and hit me up on LinkedIn if you'd like to connect. I am here to serve you, and that's it. I will see you in the next episode.